Time now for your letters. Last week's conversation with 11-year-old camper Gabby Lampert sent scores to their keyboards. Bob Johnson of Midland, Texas writes, I enjoyed Mr. Simon and his young interview subject both giggling over their thoughts about breaking some pettifogging rules concerning parent-supplied contraband at summer camp, putting this segment right after a discussion about the pressing need for new rules to enforce ethical behavior was rather surreal. Last week, Dan Charles reported on the 25th anniversary of the most recent great blackout in New York City. Gareth Penn in California says he was in New York for the blackout both in 1965 and 1977. He writes, the local news media reported numerous stories of selflessness and public-spiritedness on the part of New Yorkers, such as the organization of bucket brigades to deliver water to apartment house dwellers. When I got back home to California, I was amazed that the national news media had reported only about the civil disorder, as if the many acts of selfless New Yorkers had never happened. It came to me then that nobility does not sell newspapers. Our entertainment critic Elvis Mitchell's musings about summer blockbusters brought this from Jonathan Kingson of Dixon, New Mexico. Scott and Elvis Mitchell discussed the release of Men in Black 2, reflecting that the chemistry between Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones was the foundation of the story. When Elvis proposed that he and Scott work on the same model, Scott asked who's who, but declined to speculate further. There's no doubt in this family that Elvis is Tommy Lee Jones and Scott is Will Smith. Thanks for that. And a correction from that conversation. According to Variety, the first film to make more money for a motion picture studio after 1939's Gone with the Wind was The Godfather, 33 years later. And one more clarification. I am sorry to report that wonderful Rose Leo may not have written the poem Time, writes Pat Galloway of Austin, Texas, of the 108-year-old newspaper columnist from Kansas who died recently. As it was being read, said Ms. Galloway, I thought I recognized it, and I finally realized from where. The 1969 album, It's a Beautiful Day, where it turned up somewhat changed as Time Is.
Time is too slow for those who wait, and time is too swift for those who fear. Time is too long for those who grieve, and time is too short for those that laugh.
But wait, there's more, she continues. One Henry Van Dyke wrote it, entitled For Katrina's Sundial, in 1904. Now, Rose Nix Leo never did claim to write those lines. Her editor, Rudy Taylor, says that the poem was included in a book of her columns from which he quoted last week. And this week he wrote us, her friends told me that when Rose read the book, she was very touched, but she immediately pointed out that she did not write Time. It was one of her favorite verses that she often quoted. And she told friends that she memorized it when she was very young. She often ended one of her last scrap columns with a proverb, scripture, poem, or quote from some other writer, but she would be the last person in the world to claim someone else's work as her own. We appreciate your letters here. You may write us at wesat@npr.org, and please tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.